Hi there, and welcome back to this Microsoft Virtual Academy course on Identity and Access Management. As before, my name is Jonathan Forgeson, and I will continue to be your host for this course over the next few modules. In this module, which is module number 3, we'll be taking an in-depth look into the tools that can be used to create Identity and Access Management solutions. We'll be investigating the various options of the tools and their effect on the solution. I've decided to mix things up a bit. Not only will we be running through a demonstration of how we can use the tools to create the federated solution we designed in Module 2, we'll also be running a demonstration of how to create a managed solution. As has been done in the previous modules, we'll cover off the managed identity solution first, followed by the federated identity solution. In Module 4, which is our final module, we'll be taking a look at the tools that Microsoft provide which allow us to monitor our identity and access management solution. We'll also cover off some top tips and areas to focus on when attempting to maintain the deployed solution. As has been mentioned before, there are some things that will not be covered off in this course. These are disaster recovery, creating site-to-site VPNs to support domain controllers in Azure, and how to deploy a domain controller into Azure. The reason that these have been left out is because they don't fit into the scope of this course. If you wish to know more on these topics, there are many modules in the Microsoft Virtual Academy which can fill you in. Another great resource for information on these topics is Microsoft TechNet. Once again, we'll start off with Azure Active Directory Sync, or AAD Sync. This is the tool which provides us with the entirety of the managed identity solution and the synchronization portion of the federated identity solution. Due to the fact that AAD Sync only takes one server to deploy, organizations who have no requirements for federation or single sign-on can use AAD Sync to become cloud-capable in a very short time. Once deployed, AAD Sync is very easy to maintain, and recovering from a server fault can be done just by deploying a new one to replace the old one. So here we are, the first demo. We'll take a look through the individual screens of the AAD Sync tool and run through what each option will do. There are a couple things that need to be in place before deploying AAD Sync. The first item required is having an account available in your cloud service tenant. This account will be used by the AAD Sync to create the objects we're syncing into Azure Active Directory and needs to be a global administrator. The second item required is an account in the local Active Directory, which will be used by AAD Sync to read information about the objects that will be synced into Azure Active Directory. This account needs read permissions on the domain, and it would be a good idea for it to be named clearly to prevent accidental deletions from breaking the managed identity solution. Another thing to mention here is that AAD Sync can be deployed by downloading and installing it directly, or by using the AAD Connect tool we're covering later on in the module. Right now, we're going to use the first option. I'll just call this out ahead of the demonstration. We've increased the playback speed of the video so that you don't get too bored watching loading bars process. With that out of the way, let's get into it. The first screen you see is a standard welcome screen. On this screen, you can click on the link to read through the licensing terms for AAD Sync from Microsoft and configure where the AAD Sync files are installed to. When we click Install, the synchronization service and any other supporting tools like SQL Express LocalDB will be installed on the server. What the rest of the tool does from here on in is configure the synchronization tool. We'll just wait for the services and supporting tools to be installed. Now, you may find, like I did, that the tool will restart itself to continue the configuration. This is perfectly normal and is nothing to worry about. While we're waiting for the tool to load, I'll start on discussing the next step. On this page, we're going to connect to our cloud service tenant so that AAD Sync can configure the various options there to enable synchronization between the local Active Directory and Azure Active Directory. We'll use the global administrator account that was created earlier to complete this step. Once Next is clicked, then the tool will connect to the cloud tenant for authorization. On this page, we'll be connecting to our local Active Directory so that AAD Sync can gather information required to sync up into the cloud. As this is a demonstration, we'll use the domain administrator account. We'll need to click the Add Forest button and ensure that our domain shows up before we click Next. Once that is completed, the tool will initialize the connector to Active Directory and gather the schema information. On the next page, we arrive at the location that we configure how the identities we are synchronizing between the cloud service and the local Active Directory are linked. Specifically, we can pick the user principal name attribute for Azure If you're wondering what this is, it's the user's login identity, or what they type into the username field of the login prompt for cloud services. This is pretty cool, as previously this was hard-coded to be the user principal name, or UPN, from our local AD, and created a lot of work if the local AD had a non-routable domain set like .local domains. All users' UPNs would have to be updated before the identities could be synced into Azure. This is no longer the case, which makes things a lot simpler. We can also tell AAD Sync how to match our accounts if we have multiple forests with users represented in multiple ways. Once we've configured these settings, we can click Next. Here we can enable some of the extra features available than just the basic identity details. Specifically, we can tell AAD Sync to synchronize the exchange details required for an exchange hybrid deployment, or we can enable password writeback, which is the feature that allows users to update their passwords in Azure and have them sync back to the local environment. We can also enable filtering on the information that is synced into Azure AD by enabling the respective checkboxes. In this demonstration, we're just going to enable password synchronization to provide same sign-on functionality for our managed identity solution. Once that has been completed, we can click Next. The second to last page just confirms the information that we have entered and allows us to get the party started by clicking on the Configure button. When the Configure button is clicked, the AAD Sync tool connects to Azure AD to enable directory synchronization and configures the various settings that we have specified in the tool. As the process continues, you can see the successful sections marked off with green check marks. When that has been completed, we will get this page, which enables us to kick off a full directory synchronization. Once all that has been completed, we will have just completed the deployment of a managed identity solution, which wasn't really all that hard now, was it? Moving on now to Azure Active Directory Connect, or AAD Connect. This tool is used to create an ADFS farm to provide federation services and single sign-on to cloud systems. It is important to note that while the tool will build an ADFS farm, it will not create the required NLB configuration on the ADFS servers or the WAP servers to make this a truly highly available solution. Also, for this implementation, I've added in some settings ahead of schedule to speed up the installation, the first of which are the internal and external DNS text records, which are used by AAD Connect to verify that we own the domain that we're trying to federate with in Azure. The second of which is the SSL certificate, which will be used to secure the ADFS connections. Now is the moment that you've all been waiting for since I mentioned it way back in Module 1. We're going to run through a demonstration of how to deploy our federated identity solution, which we designed in Module 2. We're creating a highly available ADFS solution with two ADFS servers, two WAP servers, and an AAD Sync server. And we're going to be linking this to an Azure tenant. To run this demonstration, I've created some virtual machines in a lab here at Provoke Solutions to demonstrate the process. One thing to mention here is I've accidentally opened the installer during my initial setup, but I've not progressed past the first page. The main reason I'm calling this out here is I would usually run the installer from the installer file, but I can't do that at the moment due to running the tool previously. That's why I'm running the tool from the shortcut on the desktop rather than loading it from the installer. One last thing to mention before we start. Some parts of this process have been speeded up so that we don't suffer from loading bar boredom. Let's get on with the show. The first thing that the installer does is it ensures that the required prerequisites are installed so that we don't run into any issues with the tool during the install. Once install is clicked, the tool will download and install all the required software, and once the prerequisites have been installed, it will remove the download files. As the installer progresses, it will update the window with green check marks once the software has been installed. On this page, we're going to connect to our cloud service tenant so that AAD Connect can configure the various options required. We'll use the global administrator account that was created earlier to complete the step. Once Next is clicked, the tool will connect to the cloud tenant for authorization and check that the account is a global administrator. You'll notice on this page that the tool has defaulted to some Express settings. If we were to click the Use Express Settings button available here, then the tool will create a managed identity solution, with AAD Sync being installed on the server that the AAD Connect tool has been run on. This isn't what we want to be doing, so we're going to click on the Customize button. On this page, we're going to select a single Active Directory forest. In the future, this would be where you enable multiple Active Directory forests for synchronization via AAD Sync. On this page, we're able to select between a managed identity solution, which will be selecting the password sync option, or a federated identity solution, which will be selecting the single sign-on option, which is the option that we're interested in. There are a few warnings that pop up down the bottom of the page once we've selected the single sign-on option, indicating that we need to be running Windows Server 2012 R2 and have an SSL certificate for our federated identity solution. As we meet both of these requirements, we'll click Next. Once Next is clicked, then the tool will save the settings we've entered already. This is in case we need to rerun the tool if we've run into any issues with the servers so far. On this page, we need to enter the Enterprise Administrator credentials so that the tool can make the required updates to the local AD. Once Next is clicked, the tool will verify the account against the local AD. On this page, we have the option to create a new ADFS installation or add servers to an existing ADFS installation. We are interested in the first option, so we'll select that. We'll have to specify the SSL certificate for our ADFS installation, which I have saved on the desktop of this server. Once the certificate is selected, we'll get prompted for a password, which is to allow the tool access to the certificate. As the certificate has a lot of security information that we don't want accessed by other people, we need to add a password to it. As the certificate has multiple subject alternative names, or SANs, we are prompted by the tool to select what URL we'll be using for our ADFS service. In our demonstration, I'll be picking the sts.azure.kiwi.nz URL for the ADFS service. This is the URL that people will see when logging into ADFS from outside the organisation. On this page, we'll be adding in the servers that we'll be installing ADFS on. These are the core servers for the Federated Identity solution, and so will be in the internal corporate network of our organisation. Once you enter in the server's names, the tool will check to see if it can connect to the servers so that it can install the ADFS role and configure the servers. Many servers can be added, but in our case, we'll only be adding two servers to the solution. On the next page, we'll be doing the same thing, but with the WAP servers this time. These servers are where the users will connect to your ADFS installation and are the endpoints for connections from the internet. As such, they should be installed in a DMZ network or in an edge configuration. Again, the tool checks the connectivity between the servers running the tool and the WAP server being added so that there are no issues that surprise us down the track. On this page, we're entering the credentials that the WAP server will use to retrieve the SSL certificate from the ADFS servers. This account needs to have local administrator rights on the ADFS servers, but can be a standard domain user account. It should be properly named to prevent accidental deletion from AD. As this is a demonstration, I'll be using the administrator account that is already set up. Once Next is clicked, the tool will check that the user credentials supplied have the correct permissions to be able to complete the configuration. On this page, we'll be creating the service account that the ADFS service will use on all the servers. There are two options, either a group managed service account or a domain account. The group managed service account is pretty nifty in that the account password is managed via the Windows operating system rather than relying on an administrator like you or me to change the password at regular intervals. It's an extension of the standalone managed service account introduced in Windows Server 2008 R2, with the extension being that it is supported over multiple servers now, whereas previously it was only supported on one server. You need to have Windows Server 2012 as a DC at a minimum for this option to be available to us. As we're building our platform on Windows Server 2012 R2, the option is available. The other option is to use a standard domain user account as the service account. There are no issues with doing this as long as the password is of significant complexity and is managed by an administrator. In terms of this demonstration, we'll be using a group managed service account. On this page, we'll be connecting to our cloud service. In the case of the demonstration, we're connecting to an Azure tenant. Once the Azure tenant has been connected to our local domain, we can add all sorts of other services like Office 365 and a huge amount of other applications which are supported in Azure. The tool connects to the tenant and checks to see what domains you have added to the domain list to be federated at a later stage. In our case, I have added the prerequisite DNS text records and added the azure.kiwi.nz domain to the Azure tenant to be federated. We're getting close to the end now, which is pretty exciting. On this page, we can review the various options that we have selected while running through the tool. And we can also add some extra configuration to the AAD sync in the form of starting initial synchronization and configuring password synchronization. We're going to leave both of these options enabled and hit the install button. Now the tool starts doing its magic. Using remote management and PowerShell, the tool will deploy our federated identity solution and initiate the first user synchronization. This process can take quite some time as it is installing ADFS, WAP, AAD sync, and all the components required to support those various tools. Once everything has been completed, the tool removes its download directory so that we don't have old installers hanging around the system. Once the install process has been completed, there is one last step required, which is the verification step. This tool will query our DNS, both internal and external, for the required text entries to ensure that we have the rights to federate the domains that we have specified. Once you click verify, the tool will check DNS for the verification records, and if they are all present and correct, you'll be able to access the tool and enjoy your new federated identity solution. That wasn't so hard now, was it? In the next module, which is module 4, we'll be covering off how to monitor the shiny new federated identity solution that we implemented in our second demonstration in this module. We'll take a look at some of the monitoring tools available that we can use to ensure that we see any issues ahead of time. We'll also run through some pro tips on the various things that we need to keep an eye on to ensure that our identity and access management solution continues to work with no issues. I really hope to see you next time.